Well, I think that that is one thing that's important with planning out your marketing, mm-hmm. too, is that kind of when things touch back onto something. And it can magically happen. Like, sometimes I think, you know, if you're, like, sticking with a certain topic, you're tending to then touch back onto something and continuing on with a previous topic. But a lot of times, like, you do have to plan that out.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. So it's important that you're carrying on with a similar thread. And so to think that through, like it can magically happen. And I think anyone that's good, a communicator, that's going to happen naturally, but it is important to kind of touch back on to those things and have consistency. I think, like, with the radio station, you know, you have your demographic, you know, and so this is one reason why I wanted to talk about the radio station, is because it's old school marketing, but it was the original social media.
It was.
Because it's very social. I mean, I started out in the days where the radio was it, mm-hmm. right? And that's where I learned about new music. I used to have my cassette player when I got a cassette player for Christmas, and I would tape everything off the radio just waiting for a song that I wanted to catch. And we'd call in, and we'd do our requests, and we'd listen to the competitions, mm-hmm. and we'd try to win stuff. Like, and they had the Casey Kasem Top 40.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it was on Sundays.
Yep.
And my friend, because they would, you could win. You could go in a drawing to win. And my friend won the album. I didn't realize that it wasn't Casey sitting in the radio station, that it was, they were playing these records of it.
Right, right.
I didn't know that till my friend won it, and she got the albums, and I was like, oh, man, we listened to that over and over and over again. And it was a great time. It was during one of these nights. I don't know what year. It was in the 70s. You know, the Eagles, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, oh, yeah. Who Loves You, Baby. Like, that was when that was out. So it was a great top 40 week, I'll tell you that much.
I can tell you, like, I think radio changes. Everything changes in life. I feel like, but the media part of radio is still there. I mean, ABC News is syndicated on CKM at the top of the hour of every single hour of the day, 24/7, 365. And some form of people still get their news through those types of snippets. Some people rely on Charlie Brennan in the newsroom here on Hits from 6 to 9. Those are those types of things where people will, you know, not necessarily pick up the paper anymore, because A, it costs money now to view an article online, which, you know, more power to them. They've figured out the monopoly of that type of scenario. Or B, a lot of everything just comes from this handheld device that we have called phones, and
yeah.
You can scroll through things that are happening in the community. You can know when road closures are going to happen. You can know if there's police activity or a fire somewhere, or to avoid a certain road due to an accident. That happens in real time.
Yeah.
And that's something that I guess social media is good for, in that sense of having that real-time news, which the radio has also, you know, when we're on the air. But I get that completely.
It's interesting, though, because, like, I find I do listen to the radio a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's because I have that history of the radio, but, like, even when I was living in Ireland, I used to listen to the radio a lot. Like, entertainment-wise, like, there were the set presenters. Like, they weren't really disc jockeys, right? Like you said, the morning show people, that they're the personalities that, you know, you want to listen to because you want to hear what they have to say about what's going on. And I think that to really capture people's attention in your marketing, and whether it's social media or other types of marketing that you're doing, is you need to get people to want to listen to that voice.
You have to find your voice when it comes to this. And I struggled with kind of that aspect in both ways on radio, not necessarily just reading a story word for word, but trying to figure out what our marketing niche was, because Hits is a certain demographic. CKM is a certain demographic. Yeah. The Legend is a certain demographic. So, you know, and me being, you know, 24, trying to figure out, okay, what's going to work best for someone of the age of 50 and up, or 35 and between ages of 35 and 25. Like, those are the types of things that you have to juggle with. And then, you know, you can find your voice in multiple different ways. Maybe something will work for you when it comes to doing things for work, or maybe you have an opportunity to potentially just figure something out of, you know, you posted something and somebody shared it 17 times and you went, oh, that actually worked. You know, maybe companies do some skits every once in a while. You know, I follow a police department in Arizona that does,
you follow
a police department in Arizona. They have Franks with Fridays with Frank, and Frank goes around in his police cruiser and they film a video every single Friday. And I know that's going to happen, and it's kind of scary, but I know when it's going to be posted and everything. And then, that's worked for them. That's their niche. That's what works. And that's where they get their engagement. So if there's something that your audience is waiting for and holding on to, there's where the teases come in. And even like on the hockey side of things as well. I mean, there's different marketing aspects from the station to hockey. I mean, looking back at Thanksgiving Eve, your games, your audience changed. You have kids coming home from college. You have that second wave of the younger demographic coming in to watch a hockey game. You know, big things are the shared on Facebook, or I think what's working now for a lot of people is links, where they can view the post and then click the link and not have to go anywhere. Like, what's your take on that?
Well, but see, but this is an issue too that a lot of people talk about when you're trying to understand the algorithm. And like, I study up on this a lot. And like, because these platforms don't come out and say what the algorithm is. So whether it's regarding search engine optimization and how to do well on Google searches, or social media optimization, trying to do well on there, because they don't come out and tell you. But people that follow these things say that having links in your post gets you lower, brings you lower down in the algorithm, because Facebook wants people to stay on Facebook. So how do you get around that? So for a while there, people were putting links in comments.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. So now Instagram has it so that you don't have links in the post. They're not clickable. You can have your link there. So people started putting links in comments. People started putting hashtags in comments because they felt that, you know, having so many hashtags in your post doesn't look as good. And it sort of takes away from what your post is, you know. I found that, you know, you have the link in bio thing. And so I think you have to mix it up. I think you have to have some posts that don't have links.
Sure.
And then have posts that do have links and see what works for you. But if all these links are going back to your own website, you need to make sure that in your about page or your profile for your social media that you've got the good information there. And so people have started doing that with Instagram. And you can put multiple links in your Instagram bio now, so that when you say link in bio, people can then see the multiple links. So like, instead of having a link tree, you know, which is like one of those profile websites where you can list your different links, you know, you can have multiple links in your Instagram bio now. But also just make sure that your website, so that when someone does go to your website, they can find the information easily.
I think it's also important, like, it's different for a personal and a business account, I feel like, for different aspects. We talked about the algorithm being different for a business to personal, at least in my experience working with you know, a business Facebook page, whether that's for the North Country Wedding Expo or whether that's here or whether that's with the Thunder. Those always, I feel like those are in chronological order. And then when you get to your personal things, it just, things just kind of get a little clunky. And it could just be comments. Most comments could be friends you haven't interacted with in a while. I think that's kind of got a little bit to do with it. But I remember a time where Facebook had that option of friends you haven't interacted with in a while, mm-hmm. and then new friends. And then,
yeah.
like, I remember the original Facebook iOS app, and it was very, very simple. There was, you know, now you gotta, to be able to have somebody not see or go private, you gotta click 17 different settings. And that's not what people want to do. People want to click one setting and, oh, only so-and-so person can see this, or my friends can only see this, you know? And it could be beneficial for both. We talked about it with marketing and a job opportunity. You know, is locking down your social media a red flag maybe for an interviewer? Is it just your personal preference? Is it you mix it up once in a while, or something like that? Also, it could be for safety reasons as well. If you're well-known, I mean, you and I, we don't mind where people know where they can find us. People can find us wherever. But, you know, if you're at a mixer or people know where you are, like, yeah. people know what's going on. Not that people need to know where you are 24/7, but, you know, on a Thursday or a Tuesday, they can either find you in a dance class or they could find you somewhere else.
Yeah. It is that is a challenge. And I think that with some people, their hesitance in using the social media is that they want to keep their private life private, especially like if they've got young children. And I think like in the early days, like I got in trouble with the other moms at my kids' school because I posted a video of them doing Imagine in sign language at the First Communion. And it was so beautiful.
Sure.
I didn't mean to post it publicly, though. I meant to post it privately for my family because I lived away from my family. And then, like, people were talking about me behind my back. That's why I don't live in Ireland anymore.
You're like, whoa, heads up.
But, like, if someone just said, like, oh, Anne, like, you didn't ask permission. And I'm like, oh, I thought it was private. You know,
sure.
You know, early days of YouTube, you know. Oof. So, yeah, because that was always a big deal when YouTube first came on. And now they've learned, you know. So these platforms learn. They change. They change because of security reasons. They change for their own benefit, obviously. That's the most of it. But they also change based on people's feedback.
Absolutely.
So if you're not using social media, but you think you should be using social media for your business, you probably need to hire someone to help you with it. You know, you don't need to be putting yourself out there personally, but you do need to decide what it is that you want your persona for your business to be. You know, so it doesn't necessarily need to be personal to you, but you do have to then think about, like, do I want to achieve this certain level in my business? Am I holding it back by not doing social media?
Sure.
So some businesses, like in my case, my persona is a big part of my business because people are working with me one-to-one, right? And my background and my experience is a big selling point for my business. But if I was just doing digital marketing, not offering so much consulting and coaching stuff, then maybe that wouldn't be as much of my social media. So I think everybody needs to work that out for themselves. It is an important step in your marketing plan as to what is the persona going to be, you know, and it has to be in line with what your audience wants and needs, you know, because some people want to work with somebody that has a high profile versus someone that doesn't care. They just want someone that they know is going to do the good job for them.
I think also, too, is, do you think businesses struggle with trying to adapt to something that doesn't work for them when it comes to posting something and they just keep repeating, hoping that it'll latch on?
Yeah, because I think that does run true to people see your intent. People mm-hmm. can see that. And I think that, like, on one sense, like, we tell people to just get started. It doesn't have to be perfect. You know, just be authentic. But then people might see like, whoa, they seem really awkward, you know? So I think it depends on what you're selling, right? So like, I'm trying to give an example of like somebody that if you're selling, like a chef will go on, right? And a lot of chefs are all about personality. So they might come off a bit awkward. They might come off a bit arrogant, but you're like, well, that's okay. 'Cause they're a chef and they're supposed to be like that. But like, if you're someone that's teaching like speech skills and your speech skills aren't very good, that's when you'd have to be a bit more concerned, you know? So like it's relevancy to what you're offering. But you know, like there's a lot coming off now about like people being like political things coming up and someone posted something and it's not very popular with their people, or you know, people are pulling their ads off of X because of something Elon Musk said, you know, and he's like, I don't care, right? So because he's Elon Musk and he can say that. But for a smaller business, you might need to be a bit more careful about what you post. You know, but you have to decide that for yourself. It's like the example where, you know, someone had said to me that they thought that somebody, if they saw my hip-hop dance moves on social media, they may not want to hire me as a digital marketing person. Well, I'm at the point in my career that I can say, okay, well, I don't want to work with somebody like that. But there are other people that will want to work with me, you know, because of that maybe, or like they don't care.
You're marketing your second venture. It's what you're doing.
Yeah, and it's something that I'm very passionate sure. about, you know, and that there's a lot of dance fitness people out there that are interested in working with me.
And the fact, too, is the connections that you make and the connections that you've built. And plus, too, like, just the interactions thing. And we mentioned this with Amanda, too. We touched about it earlier in the episode, but interacting with just a simple like or a simple love or even just that is just as important as saying please share on your post, because you know that that post, especially with Facebook's algorithm, you know that's going to get to the top of people's feeds.
Yeah, definitely. Like the engagement is really important. Like we were talking about whether or not having a link in your Facebook post is going to make it harder for it to be seen by people. But the engagement of it, you know, so it's providing a value to people, you know, that, so that's what you really need to think about. And, you know, so when I talk about, when you're looking at your demographics, you know, what is the need or the want that your audience has, and what can you provide them with that's going to help them with that? You know, that's the type of content you want to put out there. So when I did a talk many years ago to the chamber in Clonakilty, County Cork, and it was all about being relevant and remarkable. So I came up with that because it's like a catchy phrase. And it's like you need to be relevant and remarkable. You need to be relevant to your audience, relevant to your business, and remarkable so that they're going to want to share it.
And you came up with that before AI.
Way before AI. Yeah, I came up with that all on my own. Though AI has been around forever, but
right.
It just hasn't been as user-friendly. But yeah, so remarkable, and that it's going to catch people's attention, but then they're going to want to share it with their friends. And that is the trick. That's a, like, so again, I'll quote Amanda because it's fresh in my mind. It's like a game, you know. So some people love to play this game. And I used to always say that about search engine optimization also. It's definitely a word game, you know. And some people love playing that game and some people don't like that game at all.
I will say when Pete Cloutier, who is one of our morning show people here, and he also does sales with the regional. So he's 78 years old, and he was going to do a benefit for Op Santa for the Glens Falls Green Jackets football team. And he technically is the oldest player to suit up in a semi-professional game. So I tried to figure out an angle of how to do everything. And then once things started to take off, the views start coming in. 25,000, 50,000, 75,000. And I went, I want to get to 100K. And I was like, oh, this is, mm-hmm. I'm playing this game. Mm-hmm. I'm playing this game of how can we get this video from August to still stay relevant in the end of November, early December, and try to make this worthwhile so people are still interacting with this. And then actually, the one guy who holds the record, other than the PR stunt that we did, commented, and that was like, that's so cool, blah blah blah. He still is a Guinness World Record holder, just is not playing a full season of semi-professional football. But that was kind of the niche of how can we get these people to still comment and still engage and still be there. And to be honest with you, it sometimes usually spend about 45 to an hour each day just combing through comments, making sure scheduling's all set. You know, CKM's kind of that GIF market of reply with a GIF and people will reply. And it's cool because there's two people there in the mornings that aren't afraid to express their personalities. And that's what it's all about. You know, they open the microphone and, you know, 3 hours goes by in 2.5 minutes, just the way they are. So I think also having that engagement and them being able to express their personalities, bring it back to the radio, I think has helped our engagement on social media and realizing, okay. And even using like Adopt a Child, posting the kids up there, who needs to be adopted, having some, you know, three ways to adopt a kid, call us at the studio, comment on Facebook, send us a message on Facebook. And I also think Facebook, in a very sneaky way, kind of cheeky, but they give you the response time of the typical page. I don't know if you noticed this, but if you go to a Facebook business, it says typical response time is 5 hours.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah, it is important. And like, it's setting aside the time. And I think this is another area that people worry about in their marketing is like, I just don't have the time to give it. Like people say like, oh, with Twitter. And very often I say that, like in the old days, like you had to be on Twitter a lot because it was all about the engagement and having conversations with people. Whereas with your Facebook, you could just come in, like, spend a few minutes in the morning, spend a few minutes at lunchtime, spend a few minutes in the afternoon. And you can still do that, but you need to do that consistently.
Remember when Twitter had their impressions? I think, do you remember that? When they had impressions per tweet, and now it's views per tweet now that Elon's taken over?
Yeah.
I remember that. I think that was, yeah. But you're right about the Facebook. Yeah, I mean, it helps, like, with us with the downtime, but, like, I make sure to spend a solid 45 minutes to an hour combing through, making sure things are taken care of.
And people worry about that because it's like, oh, but then I'll get sucked into the internet, you know, kind of thing. And that's why I need to be careful myself about it. And I do try to just say these are the times that I will spend engaging. So, like, I schedule posts. And I do a bunch of content in advance and schedule it out throughout the week. But then I still spend time and I post some new up-to-date things. I share a lot. Like, that's one thing I'm known for is I share people's content a lot. And I just wish that they would do the same for me. But it's just coming up with the kind of content that people want to share.
Cross-promotion, we talked about with Amanda.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, some people have like groups of people that they share each other's content. It's that they do it purposefully to help each other out. You know, mastermind groups that do this, accountability groups that do this. So it's just another way to help each other out. Some people do it in a less altruistic way, that some people are hired to do that kind of thing. But that can catch on, like, because, like, these platforms are very savvy. So if they see that this, it seems like an ingenuine way of sharing, you can get penalized for that.
Sure.
Because people set up fake accounts to do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I was given that opportunity early on in my career because I post a lot. They thought I'd be good at that. And I said, I don't want to do that. For a couple of reasons. A, like, it just wouldn't be as satisfying to me. And also, you could get in trouble. So it's just not worth it, you know. But, like, some people do make a living doing this, setting up fake accounts and following and sharing and,
you catfishing.
Know, and all that. It's kind of like catfishing, but it's not because you're...
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess kind of we're getting on a good tangent here. So what's your take on somebody that buys followers for businesses? You see that all the time.
Don't go there, man, because that got me into... I didn't do it.
Okay.
I never did it. I never told people. Like, I had a big bullying incident on Twitter when I was in Ireland. So, yeah, we could talk about that now, I guess. So there was a couple of people in Ireland that were kind of known as being, like, the digital marketing authorities. They'd get on television. Like, their opinions would be asked for things. They were teaching digital media. They were kind of being hired by big brands to do digital media. You know, and I respected them. And I... was involved with an organization called Coder Dojo. And they did free coding. It wasn't really classes. It was like a community kind of thing. So it's like Saturday morning. They started up in Cork, which was near to where I was. It was started by Billy Au, who was an entrepreneur. I think he was involved in starting, I forget the name of the network. Sorry, Bill. It's a European LinkedIn type thing he was involved in. He was a secondary school guy called James Welton. He had been in a web summit that was in Dublin because he became known for hacking the iPod.
Okay.
Right? So he was kind of known. And
jailbreaking when jailbreaking was a thing for iPhones and iPods and things like that. That's what you're getting.
So,
okay.
But as like a kid in like the equivalent of high school, right?
Sure.
So he became known in the internet, in the online community and an entrepreneurial community in Ireland. And James and Bill met at the web summit. And James had been saying how all these kids in his school were asking to learn how to do this, and they wanted to learn how to code. So they started these coding clubs for kids. And I took my kids to it. So I was at like the second or third one ever. But it ended up growing like across the world because it was free. We got people to donate space. Kids were using whatever laptops they could get. And then there was this one organization that was like revamping donated laptops to go to like Africa. Well, they were letting us buy them, or kids buy them. So parents were starting to buy. So like, you know, this is before like every kid had their own laptop. Every family was lucky to have one laptop. Well, kids started getting their own laptops. So, like, we were teaching kids how to do web pages. We were teaching kids coding. We got someone involved that was doing, like, biohacking stuff. And, you know, it was just, like, people were wanting to help. And we were finding, I found it very gratifying because a lot of these kids were kids that they weren't into sports. You know, they didn't have a big, huge group of friends, and they were feeling like they belong. Like, I'm going to cry talking about this because we changed a lot of kids' lives. Sure. Like, it was just a wonderful thing, right? So Bill's business partner, and I'm sorry if I'm getting these facts wrong as far as Bill's concerned, Sean O'Sullivan, who was an American. He's actually from Troy. I think he went to RIT, and he became a very successful entrepreneur. So he became a dragon on the Dragon's Den, which was the Irish version of Shark Tank.
Okay.
So they, knowing me, Bill knowing me through Coder Dojo, because I was a mentor there and I was a champion, which was I was helping people set up other dojos and finding people that would donate things and stuff to us so we could keep going and promote them. Bill was introducing me to some of the people that they had either invested in or maybe not invested in, but met through the show and were helping them out. So I was doing social media for, it was called Pride Watches. So I knew ahead of time that Pride Watches was going to get investment, that they were going to be on the show, and this was going to be a really popular show. So one of the things that goes wrong whenever anyone is featured on a TV show is that everyone goes to the website and the website crashes. So I was able, knowing that this was going to be really popular ahead of time, I got the hosting company. So I did a new website for them. I got the hosting company guy to be live with me that night to make sure that the website, so it's like putting more resources to the mm-hmm. website, more bandwidth, so it wouldn't crash when everybody would go to the website as they were talking about it. And I also managed their social media. So shortly after that, I was also at the time, I was writing for Search Engine Journal, which is one of the top websites for like people that are into digital marketing. So I was getting some good articles, and I wrote an article, how to get Twitter followers. So I had several different items. It's not live anymore because they did a new version of it that was up to date. But so I did different the benefits and the different things that you could do to get Twitter followers, but I also gave some black hat tips. Black hat being things that were like illegal, would get you penalized type things that you wouldn't do. And I never do recommend black hat tactics, but I wanted to give people an insight into what some people would do. And one of the things I noted was buying Twitter followers. So to get back to the whole buying Twitter followers. So I, in the article, it was done as a black hat thing. And I said, I've never done this. I wouldn't do it. If you've done it, let me know how it went for you. Cause it's not something I would do, but I was curious about it. So the next day I'm getting notifications of people are posting things on Twitter. And there's this whole thing about like, oh, wow, Ann Donnelly's recommending that people buy Twitter followers. And I'm like, no, it says I don't recommend this, but if you've done it. But they took it out of context. So this is like what happens
screen grab
all the time. Yeah. Taken out of context. And there are these guys that like I respected and were like fairly well known and respected in the Irish internet community were attacking me.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the heck? Like,
yeah, why?
Yeah, guys, like, what? Why are you doing this? You know? So then I realized they were thinking that these two entrepreneurs that I was involved with, they had spikes in their Twitter followers, and they were assuming that they had bought Twitter followers. And I'm like, these guys don't need to buy Twitter followers. And to my best of my knowledge, they did not buy Twitter followers. Like, this guy's on TV. You're gonna get spikes.
Yeah.
In your Twitter followers. Like, and I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I was really upset by it, and I took it really personally. And when I had emailed Bill, Bill's reply, as normal, short and sweet, haters are losers. Don't worry about it. You know, and it is, it's one of these things that's like, it really did bother me because I think that at the time there was a lot of rise in people because it was just so easy to become a social media guru. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't have to spend a lot of money. You don't have to go to school for it. It's like a lot of people were coming along.
It's coming back
and
around.
And taking pot shots at people. And like, I don't know why these guys were established. They had no real reason to attack me, but for some reason I think they didn't like the people that I was doing business with. They found out that like I was managing the social media on the national show that was on, and it was a big one, so it was one of the most liked like pitches that the guy gave. It was real kind of
sure.
You know, emotional. People loved the guy, and you know, I didn't get rich off of this by any means, you know, but it was a great experience. And I loved managing, like, people's social media. I used to love live tweeting. We used to live tweet during shows.
Oh, I miss that. Yeah. You don't get that element back anymore of,
no.
Or like, hey, interact with other people right now. Use the hashtag. I know Spike TV, everyone used to do it a lot in, like, the mid-2010s-ish. Yeah. Like, that's what everyone did. I mean, NBC still tries to do that on Friday and Saturday nights with new Datelines, but
right.
Now that the DVR is effective as it is, And there's really not, I don't think, at least in my eyes, and it could be just the way my work schedule is and things that are happening, but I think gone are the days of America sitting down and watching a TV show at
You'd
the start.
You'd be surprised. Really? You'd be surprised, because that's one reason why I'm still on X or Twitter.
Sure.
Is the Turner Classic Movie channel. People like to watch these movies together and tweet about them. So I do that sometimes, too, because I enjoy that. I enjoy movies and stuff like that. And so there, and like, people are on Twitter talking about sports. There's a lot of sports.
Oh, yeah.
People on. That's one thing people do still like to do live.
The reporting. The reporting aspect. Yeah.
Yeah, and people like to comment on their teams and things like that. So as far as doing marketing for your business is concerned, you know, is that the type of thing that would benefit your business? You know, so like if there is an event that's relevant to your business, being on social media around that time could be a good time to be online. You know, so you have to look ahead at these things. So like I used to do live tweeting, you know, as a digital marketing professional, I would get invited to conferences and things and to do. So I'd get free into conferences and events because then I could live tweet them. So whether I would do it on my own, but also on their channels too. So I'm good at multitasking. I can tweet as myself and as somebody else at the same time and not get too confused. But yeah, that's not a thing that you see people are still doing it, but it's just not as much as in an obvious way. Cause I think people now they're more savvy, you know, so these things have to be done a bit more subtly. And like someone said to me the other day, and they're very successful in their business and with their social media, cause they've built a really big following, cause they really focus on building a community. Like, that's part of her business, is a community of, like, women business people and helping them build their businesses. And, like, she'd said, she'd been told, and she's found it to be true, and I'm finding it to be true myself, that if you're not annoying people, you're not marketing enough.
That's your niche.
But you have to be annoying in a way that
it's not too annoying.
It's kind of endearing.
Sure.
You know, like, oh, Anne, it's Anne, she's on again. But, oh, that's kind of interesting, though. You know, kind of thing.
I got to watch this. You know. She's on my feed, but I got to click on this video. Yeah. What's going on? What's happening in Anne's world? Where is she now?
Yeah.
I need to be there.
And this is what comes up a lot, and we've talked about this many times, and because it is so important, how many times does somebody need to see your brand or your offer or your product before A, it registers with them, but B, gets them to take the action that you want them to take? And this is what is so important. So we were talking about how to get people to do more marketing, right? They have to see the importance of it. They've got to see the benefit to it. And they've got to see that it's something that they can do, and they got to build the habit of doing it and maybe make a game out of it. But, you know, call me, talk to me. Like I said, give me 15 minutes. I'll give you 3 ways to increase sales and grow your business. Like, I genuinely want to help people. It's not just about the money and getting customers for me, you know? And it's like when we were talking to Amanda's job is helping people, you know, helping the members, right? For me, as a member of all the chambers I'm a member of the Adirondack Chamber, I'm a member of the Lake George Chamber, I give chamber members discounts. Like, I really want to help people. I give a lot of free information, but, like, I see people struggling. I hate to see people struggle. You know, marketing, it's not rocket science, right? It can be time-consuming if you're not doing it. It can be a waste of time and money if you're not doing it effectively and have a strategy. So I love helping people, you know. So, you know, this is me trying to help people through this podcast. And we've gone off on tangents. But to get back down to it, you know, you can do this. You can do this. You can take your business to the next level. You know, you just need the strategy to do it. So do it. Get the strategy.